Welcome back to Monday Q Review. I am Mark Baldwin here with your, our fearless host, usual leader, Ryan French is laughing on the other end. This is our second take. The first take, I totally botched the intro saying that it was any given Monday. Ryan, how are you? It's good to see you.
I'm good, man. I'm tired. You don't realize how hard it is to get to the Masters and back, but super happy and back.
Yeah, you've had a long travel experience. Give us the rundown of how you got there, all the things that you went through to make it to Augusta, and then how many days were you there? When did you return?
Yeah. Went down Monday, covered a Veterans Golf Association. Very cool. Thanks for Dunning to having me out. There's some tweets about it. Go check out Veterans Golf Association. Very cool. Event on Tuesday. Wednesday, played Old Barnwell. Amazing. Place is unbelievable. Anyone can play it wide open. Really tough green complexes.
Well, we know anyone amazing. Can play it. They put you on.
Right. Amazing rumblings of a foundation event there at some point down the line. The places. Now, I want to be super clear about this. I've not played a lot of places, but it's probably, I think, hopefully Jonathan Pierre doesn't listen to this, but I think it's the best golf course I've ever played. My favorite golf course I've ever played.
That's amazing. Better than Alpena Municipal?
Just above. Sneaks
River's
up.
Edge?
Yes. So it was great. Thursday, went to the Masters. I mean, Chris Gallagher, who's helped me start the foundation, said it the best. It's the most unnatural, natural place you've ever been, right? It's the most fake place you've ever been, except it's real. It's pretty staggering. I don't know. Like, everyone says it's better. You know, it's so much better than on TV. Seeing it, the elevation is ridiculously different. But just Michael Bamberger taught me, like, just look at the people and watch the people. That's the story. And I walked in on 13 green, 14 tee. We went in the south gate. And there was a guy picking up pine needles with a cup, a Masters logos cup, and putting them in one by one. And I'm just like, man, this place is something different.
Yeah. Well, you didn't take any souvenirs home with you. I mean, you must have hit the gift shop, but you didn't take any organic souvenirs is my question.
I did not step out of line. For those that don't know, badges are handed down forever. I'll talk quickly about my Sunday one. Sunday, the very nice gentleman, Bruiser, thank you so much, who got my wife and I, Pat, his badges, gave me his badges for Saturday, handed them to me and said, don't do anything stupid. These have been in our family since Truman. And I was like, whoa. And that is why.
You're like, that movie wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. I believe he was talking about the president.
Oh.
And I mean, that is why everyone stays in line. I mean, you do not want to be the drunk guy that I saw on 5 or the gentleman who had a camera on his collar taking pictures on Sunday. It is truly the most controlled environment that I have ever been in. It's just all there is to it. And that's in golf, outside of golf, everything is controlled. The people, the lines, how you get in the place, how you get out of the place, bathroom lines, everything runs perfectly. And everyone follows the rules for the most part, except for the two people I just mentioned.
Yeah, you hear that a lot, is that there aren't many places that actually work perfectly, and Augusta National is one of them. You did mention a drunk guy. They don't typically do well at places like that. What happened to said inebriated individual.
So this is a great story into what Augusta does and how they make people just disappear. I'm on five in the grandstand. You look back down the hole. There is a walkway. Players hit over the walkway. It's in between their second and third shot. So the walkway opens, and I think it was Koepka's group. Doesn't matter. It's coming up the fairway. All of a sudden, there's a guy like face down in the crosswalk. But at the Masters, you just like if that was the Waste Management or basically any other tournament, you would be like, that guy is drunk. I think that guy might be having a medical emergency because you wouldn't act like that at the Masters. So he's like face down trying to get up. But that would normally cause a commotion in any other venue, any other sporting event. Cops would show up, police, ambulance, whatever. One marshal walked over to him. He tried to get up. At this point, you can kind of see he is drunk. Walked over to him, leaned down, said, I assume, this is a guess, you're dead and your family will never see this place again, or something to that effect. And then one other person in a tie and an earpiece came over. They got him to his feet and they walked him into the bushes. And he, I assume, is dead. I don't know.
Sir, you are an American citizen. Not anymore.
I mean, but it really is like any other venue that is a commotion, right? Because it causes commotion everywhere normally. I'm sitting in the grandstands and no one's saying a word. Now, obviously, people see him. He's right in front of us. We're all looking back down the fairway. But no one is saying anything. No one's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Holy cow. Look at that drunk. You know, no one says anything. And then two marshals pick him up and they just usher him off to the side. And that's it. He disappears. And then I'm like looking around going like, why is no one talking about this? But everyone just doesn't want to get out of line. We've all been to sporting events. Cops would get booed if they dragged the drunk guy away, right? Or they'd be like, oh, he's just drunk, leave him alone. Not at the Masters. No one says anything, just nothing. And so he disappeared. No one around us, you know, again, you're at a sporting event, you'd be like, man, that guy's wasted. Ha ha. Whoa, he's going to have a headache when he wakes up. None of those conversations happened.
Even the people with him, they just disappeared. It was like, you know what, let's just let this play out and continue our day.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I was going to kind of change the subject a little bit, but continue your story if you want.
The second one is we're walking behind a guy who's kind of like weaving. Again, you can't run it. You can't do anything at the Masters, but he's like weaving through and a police officer just walks up to him, grabs him by the arm and leads him into a bush. I mean, it was like the calmest thing you've ever seen, right? And a security guard is there, and I go, what happened? And he said, I caught him. He had a camera in his tie and a remote in his on his collar and a remote in his thing. But again, there's zero commotion. The cop literally, you could see him, let him around under this rope and into this bush, like this giant tall bush. Like,
and then he just disappeared. It's actually Narnia. It's like it's like a closet, and you just go into it, and there's just a tunnel underneath.
Yep.
It just leads you away into the Hooters nearby in Augusta.
Yeah.
That's where people disappear in Hooters.
100%.
Do you think he was he looking for Greg Norman?
Yes. We walked back by, and the guy is like this, you know? And I just, like, Steph and I made up a story that he's the boyfriend of some – you know, person who's had this, whose girlfriend's family has had these tickets for 60 years. And this moron has just lost the tickets. And I cannot imagine, according to people I was with, they don't lose one badge. They lose all the badges. Okay. Like they're gone. And that person will never be talked to in the family again, ever. It's ever just again, Bruiser handed him to me and said, don't do anything stupid. It's the most controlled environment I've ever been in my life. That's it.
Wow. And I mean, we had some Monday Q bumps this week. We tried to get Adam Shank to come on and do a debrief here, but he was kind enough and generous enough to give us his time last week, and obviously had a spectacular week. I mean, couldn't have been closer to a dream week for your first event out. And I imagine in the history of the tournament, for all the players who have gone there for their maiden voyage, he probably was right up there at the top of the finishes. We'll have to get our fact checker on that. But.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, outside of, I mean, maybe Scotty and Ludvig, he probably had the best Masters or is the most excited leaving it. I mean, he told us, Mark, right? He said, I don't want to shoot 80, but going to enjoy it even if I do shoot 80. Rookies just don't do well there. It's just the fact of the matter. And he was very honest with us about the fact, like, hey, I'm a grinder. I believe that I'll be at the Masters numerous times, but there's a chance this might be my only shot, right? And again, the thin margin of making it and not making it. He finished at T13.
T12.
Cam Davis was like four groups from the last and made a double on 17 to make everybody T12. And so again, I didn't get a hold of Adam. I sent him a message, but again, he's traveling to Harbor Town and stuff. Is like, I can only imagine how ecstatic he was. He gets to play the Masters next year. So outside of Scotty and maybe Ludvig, I would guess the most excited person leaving Augusta would be Adam Schenck.
Yeah. Phenomenal stuff. He's welcome on our pod anytime, but we are ecstatic that he came on just the once. And was there anything else that stood out? I mean, everything that could really can be said about Augusta has this week, but I think you had an interesting perspective about just being present at the tournament and how you're forced to be that way as a spectator. There are no phones. You have a lot of people around and just people making observations and talking and like relearning how to be amongst each other with no phones. And that has to be, especially for you, a unique experience.
Yeah. Thursday, full anxiety walking in. Thought I lost my phone four times at least, you know, but it really is once you get in there and you're forced to not have phones, it's nice. Like you talk golf, you talk to each other, you talk to strangers, like you talk to people around you. So I will say this, and I know I'm going to get beat up for this, but I know I'm in the minority. I'm a super nerd. There is a lot of manual scoreboards at the Masters. It only has the top 10, and it also has the group that's in front of you. So if you're on 13, you can see a scoreboard usually very close. It has the top 10, and then they have a single scoreboard that shows the group coming up the hole and their score. But you do not know what is happening on any other part of the golf course. And it's not a golf course where you can just follow your favorite person. Like there's not a ton of area. There's a lot of people. So it's not like, oh, I'm going to follow Corey Connors. I'll just follow Corey Connors. You just can't do it. You can, but you're just not ever going to see shots. So you don't know what's going on in the golf course. For a golf nerd like me, that was – I didn't ever get used to it. It's super tough. You have no idea. Like, we didn't see Rory on Thursday for whatever reason. Like, we were chasing other people. It's not a golf course you can get around very easily. We just missed him. I had zero clue what he shot. There's one scoreboard that shows everybody's score. It's at the clubhouse. You're not going to go up there except for once to see a couple of guys. So for a golf nerd like myself, it was really hard to be at an event and literally have no idea what's going on besides 10 names that are on a board. And even on Thursday, the 10 names on the board are not the top 10 because there's a lot of guys who are tied. For instance, Tiger, there was Neil Shipley they had on the scoreboard at one under. So we assumed Tiger had to be worse than that. He comes up 10 or 11 when we caught him, and he's one under. And we're like, what? How can we not have Tiger Woods on the top 10 board across the thing? So I loved everything about the experience. For a golf nerd like me, it is hard, and I cannot imagine being there on Friday and not knowing who is in and out of the cut until you get back to your car. It's wild. Phil's a great example. We followed Phil for a few holes on Thursday. When I say followed, like you catch him on this hole and then go three or four holes ahead, get a seat, wait for him to come by, that kind of stuff. And so he was one under when he went by us on Thursday. We didn't know until 8 p.m. on Thursday when I got to the car that he finished bogey. So it's like, again, you just don't have a clue of what's going on in the rest or around the golf course, except for a few players. You know, it's
did anybody besides you yell any Monday Q profanities, proclivities, comments at Phil?
No, a lot. It was. I can't wait to hear the comments on this, but Tiger and Phil just bring everybody, right? Like they still love Tiger and Phil. As I don't know, I don't remember exactly. I guess I just didn't take it in back in their heyday, but Tiger and Phil had the biggest crowds on Thursday. They had people following them. They by far the most yells. People just don't yell a lot at Augusta. Phil and Tiger are the exception. They yell at him all the time. Corey Connors gave me a salute, unsolicited salute. So I appreciate that he's not mad about the endless stupid Ryder Cup jokes. Yeah, that was it. It was a great experience. Unbelievable. I can't believe I don't know what's going on in a golf tournament. Stunning.
Oh, well, what an experience for you. And now we have to come back.
And Mrs. Monday Q loved it. I do have to say Mrs. Monday Q loved it. And again, this will divide the room also. The food, people go insane about the food, okay? Food is very good. It's amazing sports event food. The best I've ever had. But if you take that food outside of the setting of the Masters and everything being perfect and the line being amazing and the prices, it's not that great. That's just all there is to it. It's good. It's great. But if you were served that pimento cheese sandwich at a picnic, you would be like, this is fine. This is fine. Yeah.
You'd assume that they purchased it at the local grocery store.
Yeah. You'd be like, yes, it's fine. The barbecue sandwich, fine. All of it.
What about chicken salad? Because chicken salad aficionados say that's where it's at.
I did not. My wife had it and said it was very good. She said that was the best food they've had. So
there are chicken salad aficionados again, for everybody out there who thinks that's strange. You know, I'm unsubscribed to chicken salad aficionado, in case you were wondering. By the way, you all looked radiant in that picture, like truly glowing radiance. It was a really nice picture.
Yeah, we were super excited.
Steph
yeah,
classes
super
it
excited. Yeah, and I found out a lot of people said my wife looks like Topanga. So that was funny. She thought that was great. Yeah, thank you, Donnie. Wearing my
shirt. Did you have a crush on Topanga growing up?
I don't know. Maybe I did. Maybe that's why this all has come together. Yeah, it was wonderful. Dunning, thank you. It was an amazing experience. My wife had the time of her life within the – she has told me that I have to go. She tried to say that I have to go on a crocheting cruise and as a return favor. And there's no chance I'm going on any cruise for any reason. But I will go to a crochet event of some sort on land with my wife. That's it.
A crochet cruise is it's a wild event. What
that is, that has to be.
People will make something into anything into something.
Yes, 100%. All right, Mark's kid is going to come home and crash this podcast if we don't get through it. So quickly, I will talk about Ace Christensen shot 8 under, but at the Latin American Monday Q event. But that is not the news of that event. The news is that the Latin American tour or America's tour could not fill the field. It's not a great time to travel to Brazil for those that don't know. It is a lot of people have skipped it. So the field was short. So the America's Tour did a smart thing, and they filled the field based off of the Monday qualifier. So normally 6 spots. Today they gave 15 spots away to players. As long as you were competitive, you were in. There was only 31 people in the Monday Q field. 15 of them got through an event. Also,
I love that. I love that.
A couple of Americans went down there and did not get through. Ooh. 15 for 31. That's the tough deal. At the Korn Ferry Monday Q, there's a couple of 9-unders. Cole Castro, Ryan Hall, Danny Guys is through. Then there's a playoff including Michael Gligich, who is Monday qualified for 2 PGA Tour events. Over on the other course, Parker Gillum shot a 61. His playing partner, I know, sent me a message and said, could have easily been a 58, missed 3 short putts, made a par on a par 5, and still shot 61. Garrett Rebrand, who is 43rd in points, will be in the reshuffle, got through, shot 63. Kamayu Johnson, down in Florida, near his hometown, shot 64. And then there's a playoff that Andrew O'Leary, I'm hearing, got through. It was a 5-for-1, and he made back-to-back birdies to get through there.
Should our theme music, or like cueing you into this, be Michael Bolton, this is the tale of Captain Jack Sparrow?
Yeah, I know. If he would have got through the playoff, then obviously that was the play. Jack Sparrow, for those that don't know, played at Indiana, left-hander. And the good news is, every time I tweet about Jack, I mean, I'm just diving in now. I said Jack gave up pirating and is now in the playoff, but he dives into it. His handle is based off of the fact that he's named Jack Sparrow. So, left-hander from Indiana, heard he bombs it, missed it the 5-0, 5-for-1. I think that's it.
There are some really good names, and I'm gonna talk about this for a minute and then transition really quick, but there's some really good names and recognizable names in the Korn Ferry Tour Monday qualifier, and yes, players who have had a lot of success in the past, you know, and then there's 300 guys for 8 spots or somewhere in that approximate range. Is that right, Ryan? Or is that, am I exaggerating?
No, that's 100% correct.
I mean, you know, you go down, you look at some of the names, you know, Luke Guthrie and Bo Hoag, he finished second at the Memorial 1 year. Mickey Jamorid had Korn Ferry status for a while. I mean, you keep going down. Taylor Funk, he played a heroic round at second stage to get through. It really is amazing that these guys are not only there, but it's just such a hyper competitive competition for the Monday Q, for the Korn Ferry Tour. And like, you know, we geek out about this stuff, and like, we have, obviously, if you love Ryan's content, you've been following for a while, and like, we just have a very esoteric following here. You know, like Ryan says, he's as deep in the nerd weeds as it gets. But like, Chad Hambright, he Mondayed into Torrey Pines this year, Farmers Insurance. That was a home game for him. Alex Chiarella, he's got long Korn Ferry. And you just keep going and going. But this is my transition really quick. It's more of a plug than anything else. Patrick Sullivan, I'm seeing his name. Now, Patrick is prominently featured in...
Patrick Sullivan.
No kidding.
This is Patrick Sullivan from the University of Michigan, and we don't talk about it. So.
And see, like, this is the kind of shit that you know. Like, I'm a pro golfer. I know these people, a lot of these people, and I didn't know that. I thought this was the Patrick Sullivan, one of the characters in a very interesting, unique, compelling story that you have. This is your white whale you've been working on for a long time. How's that going, by the way? The Sydney Frank story.
Yeah, it's going to be, we'll eventually get this done. We're shooting for next week, everybody. And we have said that, but we're much farther along than we have been in the past. So we're going to get there. It's just a story I want to get right. Mark has been more than patient, has been wonderful through this. I'm great at reporting. It's the writing part that's tough. So we'll get there. It's an amazing, ridiculous, insane story, and it's worth my time to make sure that it's semi-right before we roll it out.
It is golf's Wolf of Wall Street.
It really is. It is. That's a great, yes. We've never said that in our conversations. That's great. I will say, here's back to your point, Mark, about how ridiculous Monday qualifiers are. Michael Gligich was on the PGA Tour last year. That's it. Now he's playing Corn Ferry Mondays. That's it. Like, full status last year on the PGA Tour. Any event within reason that he wanted to get into, he got into, full status. Finished below 200 in FedEx Cup points. Missed at Q School. Now playing Corn Ferry Mondays. Wild. Really quite wild. And so that's Mondays and pro golf in a nutshell. On the PGA Tour 1 year, playing Corn Ferry Mondays 3 months later. So that's it. Sydney Frank Masters, Corn Ferry, Latin American. Mark has a story coming out about one of the Corrales Monday Qs. Good story. I'm going to work on Sydney Frank for the rest of the week. And that's it. That's your Monday Q review, or any please, given Monday, whatever the fuck you're calling this.
Please subscribe. Yeah. If you haven't subscribed yet to Monday Q, please consider doing it, because this story, the Wolf of Wall Street for golf, will be for subscribers. And it's going to be well worth your time and your investment. And it goes to support Ryan's incredibly hard work and, you know, my at times dedicated work. So thanks for listening.
Mark's more of a counselor. His job is, especially during the Sydney Frank article, has been more of a counselor than he does all the behind the scenes stuff, edits this podcast, does stories, plays professionally, and counsels me off the ledge as I try to get this story onto paper.
Yeah, we're just trying to keep you sane long enough to actually get this to press.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Our theme music is composed by Alicia Beats. The song is called Titanium, and it can be found on pixabay.com.